That's what happens when you practice with the little ones on Saturday morning and crank it up for their voices and then get stuck with me on Sunday morning. So again, today we're going to hear about faithful messengers. We have the last two Sundays in Advent, kind of shifts our focus away from the end of the world to the proclamation of the gospel and the greatest gospel proclaimer, John the Baptist. We pray that God would bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 345, Hark! A thrilling voice is sounding. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Note the Advent responses, and we refrain from the hymn of praise during this season of Advent. We'll sing it anew on Christmas Eve. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the blessing of this season, for the opportunity to reflect and repent and to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you for the faithful ministry of John the Baptist, for all who follow in his train, pointing the way to Jesus. Heavenly Father, continue to bless us and prepare us and lead us to a lifetime of true repentance. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Hymn 345. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit for the day.
Rejoice in the Lord.
From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings.
Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me this is a very small thing, that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, and I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I will send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 344.
Thank you. to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the gospel lesson just read, especially these words. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Thus far our text. Your friends in Christ, it is still the season of Advent, even though instead of a blue candle, we have lit a pink candle, a candle that reminds us of the joy of the season. And in Advent, we're still watching for Christ, still looking for his arrival, for his coming. He's still drawing ever nearer, so get ready, lift up your heads, wait, watch. Look, he'll be here soon. Watch for what? Look around where? To what do we affix our eyes as we await his coming? Where do we look during this Advent season? What do we watch for? What is it that fills our time during the season of Advent? That displays our watchfulness. This sinful and dying world knows where it wants you to look. This sinful and dying world knows how it wants you to spend your time. This sinful and dying world knows what should fill your Advent. And it's shopping. Shopping for Christmas gifts. After all, you need to get Christmas gifts for all of your family and friends. And they need to be nice ones, too, so we keep our economy roaring. Get out there and get shopping, the world says. Buy the best electronics or clothes or gadgets, no matter how frivolous they might be. And if you buy those gadgets and those gifts, then your family will understand that you really, truly do love them. And as an added perk, your favorite outlet store will stay in business for another year. And speaking of family, this dying and sinful world also wants you to know that family is what Christmas is all about. Spending time with family, even if they drive you crazy, even if they live on the other side of the country with a blizzard between you and them. Sure, great Uncle Mortimer might talk about politics all the time, and Sister Susie's kids might be completely out of control. But you need to eat that Christmas ham with them if you're going to fulfill what Advent and Christmas is all about. Spending time with family. We call that Christmas spirit, right? There's countless movies all about that idea. It's not just Christmas ham that you need to prepare for that family gathering. This sinful and dying world also wants you to know that you need to get all the Christmas cookies ready also. And they need to be nicely decorated. Sugared, covered Christmas trees. Little wooden nutcracker cookies that are designed to look like the real thing. You need to dip pretzels in chocolate with red and green sprinkles. You need to bake perfect pumpkin pies. Maybe even try sugar plums and fresh roasted chestnuts. That's what Christmas is all about. And And as for weather, it better snow. This sinful and dying world wants you to know that it's really not Christmas unless it's a white Christmas, with feet of snow outside the window. It's what we hear on the radio from Bing Crosby and all the others. And you need to get out your red and green ugly sweaters so that you have something to wear while you enjoy the marshmallow world outside. And there needs to be silver and gold decorations on every Christmas tree. Needs to be reindeer, talking snowmen, elves, and all the rest. What do you watch for? What's the sign that it's Advent, that it's Christmas? This sinful, dying world tries to sell you a picture. The Norman Rockwell version. The Martha Stewart version of Christmas. The trouble is that after this sinful and dying world has built up all of these images of what Christmas should be, with all the sparkles and all the catchy cliche songs and all the societal pleasures and pressure, when we look at what Christmas is for our family and for us, and we compare it to what Martha Stewart's put in her magazine or Norman Rockwell has painted, we realize we're nowhere close. Our cookies don't look as nice as the ones seen in the cookbook. Our neighbor's Christmas lights are better on their house than ours. Their Christmas tree more finely decorated. The world goes on and says, you can't even have candy canes any longer because they might remind someone of Jesus. You can't wish people a merry white Christmas, because it's not about snow anymore, but ethnicity. The poinsettias die. The pine needles fall off the tree and get stuck in the carpet. We get so tired of hearing the world's favorite secular Christmas hymn, Last Christmas. Feel like if we hear it one more time, we'll probably rip the radio out of the car and throw it on the side of the road. Watch. Look. And repent. Repent, dear Christian. Because all of this stuff that the sinful, dying world throws at you this time of the year is a lie. It's nothing more than idolatry. Making a false god out of 1950s Christmas. Taking your focus off the most important part of this season, Jesus. Placing your vision, your eyes, your mood, your family, your life, on anything else that they might be able to sell you. Repent. Do not let the world sell you its version of a Christless Advent and Christmas season. Brings us to our gospel lesson for this morning, in which St. John the Baptist understands the idolatry that so many of us have. and bids us to repent. In our gospel lesson for today, he is in prison, a place where the desires of this world mean nothing to anyone any longer. John is soon to be beheaded for speaking the truth about a jealous adulterer. His disciples don't know what to do. They don't know where to look or how to proceed with John in prison. They go and they ask him what to do. And John plays the part of the faithful pastor. He will not let their eyes be focused anywhere else except for Jesus. He sends them. He says, go, find Jesus and ask him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Saint John sends them to see who Jesus is by what Jesus does and what Jesus says. Now, don't worry, John doesn't doubt. He has faith in Christ. He knows who Christ is and has since he leapt in the womb upon meeting Christ the first time. He sends his disciples to ask Jesus if he is the one, not for his own sake, but for the sake of those disciples, so they might also have faith, so that they might have their eyes fixed on Christ, so that they might understand the reality of how God saves his people from this sinful, dying world. He preaches a word that points to Jesus. And when they get to Jesus, Jesus continues to point them to himself, saying, look at all that I'm doing. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk again, lepers who are cleansed, and the deaf hearing. And if that's not enough, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus, by what he says and what he does, proves to them that he is the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord God in human flesh, who has come to rescue sinners from their sin, who's come to give an alternative to this sinful, dying world. Saint John the Baptist, being a faithful pastor, even from a prison cell, wants his disciples and friends and you to have eyes that look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Dear Christian, God wants that for you. He wants you to ignore the world and to look to Jesus. He really, truly does. That's why he sent pastors here to you. That's why he sent a vicar here to you to preach God's word, so that you might not look to Moline or Poppy or Bader, but instead to Jesus. He pours his word into your ear so that you might not be caught up in all that this sinful, dying world has to offer, but instead might look to the world that is to come, that is perfect, in which you will live forever. God delivers his sacraments so that you might not be caught up in the trappings of this season, but instead might always remember Christ. That's why at church, the content of every sermon should be Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. That's why pastors ought to be in your eyes replaceable, so long as they preach and teach the truth of God's word. The focus of this season ought to be Jesus, his incarnation, his taking on our flesh so that he might die and rise again and grant us eternal life. That's what Advent is all about, Charlie Brown. Pastors shouldn't toot their own horn, but point to Christ. We must decrease, he must increase. Just as faithful St. John the Baptist himself said. You see, it's only Jesus, crucified and risen, that matters. Nothing else is important. That's why Christ came in the first place. That's why he was a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, so that later he might be stripped of those clothes and nailed to a cross and killed to take away your sin, to remove your guilt, to give you a good conscience before God and before your neighbor. His blood was outpoured for your weakness, for your sin. The baby we watch and wait for was killed by this sinful and dying world, but death had no hold over him. He rose and is alive even now, as one day you too shall be. And with our eyes fixed on Jesus, with our ears filled with his word, we remember what he said. Blessed is the one who is not offended because of me. It means we're free. Free to sing this Advent and Christmas season, along with whatever song comes on the radio, free to sing, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Free to laugh and smile and enjoy time with family, even those who bother us. We're free to decorate cookies that look like trees and tin soldiers. We're free to buy gifts for those whom we love. We're free to unwrap them and smile. We're free because of the greatest gift of all, Jesus. It's to him we look. The rest is all just gravy. We're free because his blood set us free. We're free to enjoy Christmas because Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, because St. John points us to him and to nothing else for our salvation, because he really is the reason for this Advent and Christmas season. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by standing and confessing our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before
all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Good Shepherd member Mark Simnett, who will be undergoing surgery on Friday. Friend of Good Shepherd, Harlan Chamberlain, return back to the hospital. We pray for the family of Good Shepherd member Brent Stelick in the passing of his mother. And also we rejoice with Good Shepherd members John and Linda Regal as they celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary in the very near future. We pray for the church, that she would rejoice in the glad tidings of her coming Savior and be comforted by the good news of his perfect life and sacrificial death for her salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our pastors, that they would be faithful and regard themselves as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God, and that they would be trustworthy as they carry out their duties. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, that we would forgive others as we have been forgiven, give as we have been given to, and love as we have been loved. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president and all those in high positions of authority among us, that they may be guarded from every evil and kept from using their power for selfish gain, serving always with the common welfare of all in mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the homeless and the hungry and all those who suffer want, that they may receive the help that they need, and that we, as God's blessed children, would always stand ready to assist those who truly are in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, the suffering, and the grieving, especially Harlan, Mark, the Stelick family, Al, Linda, Kim, Sheldon, Riker, Laverne, Pat, Lori, Shirley, Ron, Lori, Shauna, Dan, Jane, Emma, Deb, Janet, Barb, Walter, Kylan, Megan, Jerry, Joe, Irma, Rachel, Denise, the shut-in members of our congregation, those serving in the military, and all those that we remember in our hearts. That the one who gives sight to the blind, heals the lame, cleanses the leper, gives hearing to the deaf, and raises the dead, preach good news to the poor and sustain us in our trials with his compassion and grant healing in accord with his perfect will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the Lamb's High Feast today, that they would rejoice in the gracious visitation of their Savior at the holy altar, receiving his very body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins and the strengthening of their faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the prophets and all the faithful saints who spoke in the name of the Lord before us, let us give thanks and praise to God, and for steadfastness in faith, that we might look with hope for the revealing of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior on the last day, the true reason for this season, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For John and Linda Riegel, that their love for each other would never grow weary, but deepen and grow for every joy and sorrow shared. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who comes to save us in spite of ourselves would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. continue with the offertory on page 159. What shall I render to the Lord? Please stand. Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of
God, you take away. Thank you.
Thank you.
very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing now the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Please stand. Refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn 348, The King Shall Come.